Hey, this is Chris. Hope you're doing well, and welcome to Popcorn Finance, the show where we discuss finance and about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. Now, I want to know, what would you do if suddenly, at the age of 24, you woke up and you had $600,000 just sitting in your bank account? I think a lot of people, they're going to say, oh yeah, I would save and I would invest and I would do this responsible thing and that responsible thing. But I know a lot of those people are just lying, because I know at 24, I would have, yeah, maybe saved a little bit of it, but I probably would have spent a lot of that money. And that is a situation that today's guests found themselves in. I was on their podcast a little while ago and I got to hear a little bit more about their journey, and I knew I had to talk about it here on the show. So today I'm joined by Haley and Justin, the hosts of the podcast Price of Avocado Toast. So Haley, Justin, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having us, Chris. We're stoked to be here.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. I was listening to your podcast the other night and just learning more about your story. And I've never been in that exact situation, but I've been in a situation where I've spent a lot of money and I've gotten into a lot of debt. So I could 100% relate to what was going on. And just to kind of give like a quick recap of the start of this story is you inherited $600,000 at the age of 23 and 24, respectively. And then you proceeded to blow through the money, and you inherited this money. And that's not usually, you know, a happy situation, inheriting money. Normally there's something that happened. So how did you end up with $600,000?
Well, my paternal grandmother, unfortunately, was diagnosed with mesothelioma in late 2014. And that is an asbestos-caused lung cancer that she contracted from doing my grandfather's laundry when he was working in the fiberglass industry.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she, unfortunately, you know, battled the disease. Pretty brutal. Unfortunately, it's not a fun disease. And she passed away in 2015. And when she did, my grandfather filed a wrongful death lawsuit on her behalf. And they had already been in talks with a lawyer, so the process was relatively seamless and was relatively quick to go through the court process. So in late 2015, that process finalized and my grandmother's family was awarded money. But my father, unfortunately, was passed away at the time. So his payout essentially went to his heirs, which was me and my siblings. And the awards were actually $1 million to each of us. However, lawyers' fees took $400,000. So in January of 2016, I got the first check that was $60,000. And then about 2 months later, I got the second check that was $540,000.
Wow. I mean, what was going through your mind? Because that's a lot of money to just be in your bank account like that. I've never had that amount of money just sitting there available for me to spend.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. I grew up single mom, you know, lower income household. And so I actually didn't even ever think that that amount of money was going to be something I could obtain. I had no financial education. I had no idea about money. It was kind of like, if I have money in my bank account, it's meant to be spent. There's no such thing as a savings. So seeing that amount of money was really jolting, was really overwhelming. And there is this sense of, oh, I can do whatever now. Yeah. there's a lot of empowering and like liberating feelings that come with holding a piece of paper that says $540,000.
Yeah. I mean, because for most of us, you know, we've never had a situation where you didn't have to just say no to yourself, right? Like we're always constantly saying no to ourselves of all the things we would like to buy, but we just can't do that. But to be in a situation where it's like, you know what? There's a lot of things that I can say yes to now. That has to be tempting.
Yeah. Very tempting.
Yeah. We had just met. I was 23 years old, madly in love with this guy that I just met who wanted to just pay for everything. And knowing this situation, I was like, okay, like if that's what you want to do and that makes you happy, and sure, okay. And my upbringing was very similar to Justin's. I also grew up in a single mom, low income situation. So it was very overwhelming to be in the proximity of that much money at that young of an age when you don't even know how to like balance a checkbook as if we're writing checks, but the concept is still there. Like we don't even know how to do the basic money management. So it was very overwhelming.
So you're in the situation, you get this money, you're a new couple, everything's exciting. I mean, I would be very excited with that much money in a bank account. So I got to ask this, what was the first thing you bought once that money was there and ready for you?
The first thing we bought was actually something practical. I needed a newer car, and I use the word need loosely, right? Like my car was older and there were some issues with the timing chain on it and stuff. I didn't maybe need it, but I wanted a newer vehicle. Yeah. And so I went and got a brand new Toyota RAV4. And out the door, it was like right around $40,000. And I obviously, you know, was able to just buy it outright and not have a payment on it. And it was pretty cool because I got all the bells and whistles of like the warranties and the, you know, all the windshield replacement stuff and the seat cover, you know, protections and all that stuff. And I could just say yes. You know, like you said, I could just say yes to everything. I didn't have to say no. And so, drove off with this beautiful black on black Toyota RAV4 that was awesome.
I got to say, for someone in the early 20s, that's a very responsible car purchase. Like, of all the cars you could have bought.
Yeah.
You could have bought a Tesla.
I was a high school football coach at the time, and some of the football coaches were saying, you know, maybe you're more like a soccer coach here, man. Maybe maybe you're the next soccer mom with such a practical vehicle, but yeah.
Oh, but yeah, like instead of getting like a F-150, you're like, let me get this RAV4. You know, gas mileage is amazing in this. I'm thinking about that down the road.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is your first purchase, which is not, honestly, not a bad purchase at all for someone who has that amount of money. So clearly, you know, as your story goes, you started burning through this money in a relatively short amount of time. So a couple questions, I'm going to pair this up into two questions here. Like, when did you get the money? And then when did you spend the last, like, we'll say dollar of that money? And what was the best and worst thing that you purchased during that period of time?
So the money came in January of 2016, and it was absolutely gone by September of 2019. Yeah,
absolutely wild. Or no, I guess that would have been 2018 that we went through.
Oh, 2018,
September 2018.
Yeah.
2019 was when we really were like, oh, we really did go
through
this.
Yeah, so the last of the money was in September of 2018. So not long.
Wow. Okay. So in that process, I mean, that's not a huge gap of time. So I'm assuming there's, you know, some good purchases in there, maybe something that you regret and want to take back. So what was like the best thing you say that you bought? And then like the worst thing, you're like, why would I ever spend that money on this?
I will talk about the best thing. We had a beautiful $30,000 wedding in wine country. It was gorgeous. Mm. It was everything that we would have wanted. It was perfect, and I have no regrets. So that was definitely the best. I would do it again. Although I wouldn't do it again because the prices now of a $30,000 wedding from 5 years ago would probably be over at least $50,000. So yeah. I'm happy that it stayed in the $30,000 range.
Yeah. And that was the last expense. That was September of 2018. Yeah. So our wedding truly was like, we're going to drain the bank account on this wedding and enjoy it. And
oh,
it
wow.
Was,
okay. Yeah, going out on a good note, at least.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. We definitely, you know, we say all the time, that was definitely the best purchase. The worst purchase is a hilarious story, Chris. So I didn't know about this until significantly further down the road. But during this time, Haley and I were subsidizing our lifestyle, living in this townhome. We had no business renting out, you know, really just making unwise financial decisions between going on wine tastings and eating out so often and furnishing this new townhome. Like, it was just ridiculous. But I get home one day and Haley tells me there was this guy giving away a bunch of meat out front of the Starbucks up the street. And so I took a bunch of this meat home. And I said, Haley, what do you mean you brought a bunch of meat home from somebody you met on the street? And she said, well, he had a bunch of leftover meat and he gave it to me for free. And so I said, Haley, you cannot bring random street meat home and think that we can keep it. And she, you know, was like, okay, maybe that's not a wise decision. And she went and took it out and ended up throwing it away. What she didn't tell me until 3 years later was that she actually spent some of our money on this. She spent $300 or something on this meat from a local company that I had known. I would have been like, oh, great. You know, let's leave it in the freezer.
No, I was going to go to my grave with it. Yeah. We were spending so much money. Obviously, we weren't really thinking much about our purchases. Therefore, when I bought all this meat, I didn't really think much about the fact that it was $300. That's a lot of money. We didn't have the freezer space for it. Like, it was very much an impulse choice. I can't really explain much more than that. I don't really know how it happened. But afterwards, I was like so embarrassed by it that I just didn't even say anything for years.
Such an odd thing to do. But it just shows you like the internalized shame and guilt we have around money. Right? Like you're struggling to even tell your partner, like, I spent $300 on this meat.
That we can actually eat.
Yeah, that is safe to eat. And we can, you know, instead we spent the money and threw the meat away. Like, it's just, it's such a bummer all the way around.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I okay. Like, I completely can understand that because I think we've all been in that situation, right? Where you're in a relationship and you just like, you don't know how to talk about money. You don't want to get into an argument about it. You don't want to look like you made a bad decision. And so you just like cover stuff up, or you just like don't want to talk about it. You kind of like say, yeah, you know, I did this, I did that, but you don't you're not really being honest. And it's just, it's hard. I think that's like, when I heard your story and heard how much money you spent, like, it's not difficult to understand that that's possible, because with two people, especially when you're young, you don't really know. Most of us don't know how to communicate about money anyways. It's so easy to just have this add up quickly on you out of nowhere.
Totally. And we really were, I use the word victims loosely, right? We really were victims to that, of like, we don't know how to have money conversations. We're young and impulsive. We weren't really ever taught what would be wise to do with this. So kind of live in those like YOLO ideas for a couple years until it catches up to you in a bad way.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And then when you got to this point in 2018, where September 2018, where you've spent all this money, can you, when you look back, can you identify like where the money went, or was it just like this situation where it just kind of just happened and it was just like casual spending that added up to a lot of this going away? All right, I'm so sorry to leave you on that cliffhanger, but this conversation was so good, I really couldn't cut it down more than I already did. Didn't want to lose a bunch of stuff, so I decided to just split this one into two, so you can hear the rest of my conversation with Justin and Haley next Tuesday in part two. I will be back this Thursday with a brand new episode of Popcorn Finance News, where I'll dive into some of the details that we learned from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting. Until then, you can always find me on Instagram or TikTok. Just search for Popcorn Finance. Find me there, or go to the show notes. I have links in there, as always. As always, I appreciate you all joining me here for yet another bag of popcorn. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, boy, keep it popping like Mary Poppins.